All right, so we are in week two of our series, Come Alive, and we're going through it's a 3 weeks, and two of them are in preparation for Easter, and Easter is next week, and Good Friday is also next Friday. So I hope you gained something from the series, this is the two greatest holidays in the year, the second one being my birthday. Seeing if you guys are awake. Of course, that's Christmas and Easter, the two best holidays, because we get to celebrate our Lord in some way. And you know, in those two times of the year, we tend to spend more time with our loved ones, and it's a time of reflection. And, you know, more than 2,000 years ago, God's plans for redemption altered the world forever, and that's why we celebrate it, and that's why we remember it. You know, the power of sin and death overcame and conquered through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that was the first Easter. That was the first moment where that redemption happened. You know, as we've embarked this journey through the events of Holy Week to bring together God's story, which is to transform our lives, this story changes us. Changes us drastically. That's why we see things like people that have, you know, done horrific things, and then they meet Christ later, and they actually become changed people. Does anybody remember, this is a little side story, but does anybody remember Son of Sam from the 1970s, I think it was, early 70s, up in New York? Anybody know that story? Raise your hand if you know that story. Yeah, kind of? Okay. So, Son of Sam was a very disturbed person that was going around killing young ladies. I think it was from like 18 to 30 range, something like that. Brutal. He finally got caught, and he went to prison. Well, would be interesting to know that about 20 years ago, he actually came to Christ, and now he writes some books on faith and things like that. He was, you know, a lot of people say, oh, hey, you're in life in prison. Of course you're going to come to Christ, you know, that jailhouse salvation and stuff. But one thing that was interesting about him is he actually was offered parole, and he turned it down. The reason why he turned it down is he said that I believe that I deserve the punishment I got. And so he is continuing to stay in prison. And he writes and he does some different things, interacts and is involved in prison ministries and things like that. Very interesting story. You know, as we look at Good Friday and we look at this Holy Week, you know, we're not to look down in fear and defeat, but hold our heads up high. Hold our heads up high and focus on what Jesus did. You know, what Jesus did creates or has influenced other people's lives, like Son of Sam. Or also, if you want to go back to the Apostle Paul, who was a murderer. And yet he became one of the most instrumental writers and wrote, I think it's around 65% of the New Testament. See, when Easter Sunday comes and we celebrate Jesus' resurrection and power, we celebrate it with joy and lifting up and gratitude, and we come alive in those moments when we remember what Jesus did and what this whole season is about. You know, it's a reason to respond to God's open arms and his invitation to draw near to him. So I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad that you're here to I know it's Palm Sunday, so we're a little bit, it feels kind of odd. I'm not doing a Palm Sunday message. That was last week. But we're gearing up to prepare for the next holiday. So this is Good Friday's message in preparation for this Friday, as you remember these things. See, as we prepare our Holy Week journey, we'll be bring alive Jesus' life, sacrifice, and his power. Now this Friday, this Good Friday, I've always wondered, like thought about this word Good Friday. It's an interesting way to call it. I mean, out of all the things we can call it, Good Friday, it's just kind of strange. When I was a new Christian, I didn't understand it at all. You know, it's not an easy Friday. But it's a Good Friday as we discover this life-changing truth of Holy Week and this life-changing truth of God's power that transforms people. It transforms people into a new creation, a new being, a new person. You know, it's difficult to look at death sometimes. You know, it's difficult to face death. You know, as some of you know, I was a hospice worker. I was a chaplain for hospice. And I remember the first time I faced that. See, I was in, my dad passed away when I was about a month before I got married in 99. And I saw that, you know, and that was one of the instrumental moments of where I came to Christ, is because at his funeral, the preacher who is now married to my stepmom, that preacher shared a strong evangelistic message, and the Holy Spirit started working in me. And it was a few months after I got married that I went to my wife and said, I got to go to church. So facing death brings a lot of questions, and it's hard to deal with. It brings emotions and sadness. And I remember as a hospice worker, as a chaplain, I'm going into these homes and it's with strangers and being there in those final moments. And there's something about that that changes your life. If anybody's been there in those, as our family and our loved ones have been there in hospice, and we've seen that and witnessed it and felt it, it is a difficult but yet powerful moment in our lives. It really makes us reevaluate things in our lives. It makes us reevaluate what's important. It really helps us really start thinking about the big picture and where am I going to go after this? And is there an afterlife? And all these what they call existential questions or crises. What's going to happen when it's my time? And if you've ever been through that, you know the power and challenges that come with that. In those moments, staring death in the face, that we remember what is most important. And there's incredible tension in that day. So when we take a look, and here's a picture of Jesus on the cross, when we look at this, imagine for a moment what the apostles and his followers and Mary and his and Jesus' mother and all and Mary Magdalene, they're all there and they're seeing this and they know the end. They know that it's there. They know that Jesus is going to die. They don't go up on crucifixion and come down from there. They know what's inevitable, that he's going to no longer be here. And imagine for a moment, if you've ever gone through people that are family members and our loved ones who have passed on, if you've been there in those last days, you know what they're feeling. Because these folks are there, the brutal tool of the Roman crucifixion. How are we going to call that wonderful and good and beautiful? How can we look at that and go, oh, that is so awesome. That is so good. That is Good Friday. What? That is so amazing. How would we do that? Why? It just makes no sense. It's difficult to even look at it. Has anybody seen the movie Passion of the Christ? From Mel Gibson did it, right? And Jim Caviezel played Jesus. I saw it two times in the theater. The first time, I bawled like a baby. Second time, I bawled like a baby. But the second time, I did something. Jenny and I left the theater just toward the end, and we were the first ones out, and we kind of hung out by the door because I wanted to see how people were responding. And I don't think there was a dry eye coming through that. I don't think there was a dry eye walking out that theater, because it's that's the reality. That's what they're facing. And it's a difficult thing. And when the Apostle Paul, considering the cross, he said something very interesting. So when we look at this, how can this be good? But look at what Paul says. Take a look at this. He says in Galatians 6:14, he says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That is, he's talking about boasting? Far from me to boast except in the cross of Christ. So wait a minute here. We see Jesus, our Lord and Savior, up on the cross and he's dying. And we've been through that. We've seen people die. And it's terrible. And I'm sure the people that were there following Jesus, they didn't expect that to happen. And they're thinking it's the end. But then we see Paul talk about this. boasting except for the cross of Christ. So wait a second, we're supposed to celebrate that? That seems kind of weird. To look at the cross is to recalibrate your life around this one thing and to receive the confidence that comes from knowing that God of the universe laid down his life for you. That's why we can call it good. When we look at it from the right perspective, we see what Jesus did. See, we have the blessing of knowing what the end result is. We get to see the New Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't even have the resurrection yet. But when they see this, and they're going through that, when they learn, and when Paul looking back, he sees this. See, we can call it good because we know what the end result is, that Jesus is resurrected. We know that he has come to rescue the world. I want to take a look at this word boast a little bit. It's a Greek word translated boast or exalt, literally means hold your head high. And that's the theme of this message today, is to hold our head high. During this time, as we celebrate Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter, lift your head up high. Hold your head up high today and look at the cross of Christ. You know, recently I follow a lot of church stuff, pastors and churches and what's going on in the church culture around the country. It's just kind of a fascination to me. And there's actually a church, I won't name it, but there's a church right now that for Easter Sunday, they actually published this information. They will not talk about blood. They will not talk about resurrection. They will not talk about cross because they just want people to come. They've removed all of what it's about. See, we live in a distracted society. We, or the society, are distracted in many, many ways. Whether it's social media or entertainment or shopping or sports, whether it's watching sports or in every sporting event around, whether it's jobs or volunteer work or friends, family, business being packed in your, or busyness, you're being packed schedule, hobbies, looking at your phones. You know, walk down the street or walk around or even when you're driving somewhere down in Weeze or Fruitland or Ontario, when people stop at a stoplight, look around. They're all on their phones. So many of our daily activities and habits cause us to look down, looking away. And when I say look down, I'm not talking about down, but just looking away, looking here and looking down. But we're never looking up. We're not looking up. And what Paul is talking about here is lift your head up high, exulting, boast, be proud of what Jesus has done. Be grateful for what he has done. Be excited for what he's done. Today, we are to hold our heads up high about nothing else other than the cross of Christ. So as we celebrate this time a year, I hope and I want to encourage you to lift your head up high. Look at Christ in every opportunity you can. Share Christ. Talk about Christ. Listen to Christ. Just make it all about him. As we look at his life and what he has done, it allows us to recalibrate that in our lives. This gives us when we look at Christ on the cross, it gives us that opportunity to reevaluate. And we go, we see Jesus on the cross. You're like, hey, he died for me. What am I doing? I'm always on TikTok. I need to recalibrate things. It's almost like a New Year's resolution, but maybe we should start calling it like a Easter resolution or something. Every Easter, you do your new resolution to get closer to God. I think I just started something there. That was just off the cuff. I just thought of that. We're going to do the following Easter, we're going to do new, I don't even know how to call it, new Easter resolutions. Sound good? But you know, we don't hold our heads up high about the importance of the importance of our work. We don't lift our heads up high about the gifts or talents that we have. Or we don't lift up our heads on high about the contributions or the accomplishments. Let your motivation to live out your faith be that you will overwhelmingly conquer that obstacle and look up high. Because the power of Almighty God, the confidence that comes from our relationship with Christ should empower us. We should be excited for it. And when we don't, we start getting stuck. And I'm just as much of a culprit of that as anybody else. We all do it. And I think that's why Jesus reminds us of these things. That's why we have things like communion. That's why we have things as a regular occurrence, is because we get forgetful. He knows that we get busy, we get sidetracked, and we get wrapped up in all these less important things, and we lose track of the cross. So today, I hope that you will lift your heads up high. John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the world." And that's why we should lift up our heads and praise him. This amazing reference John the Baptist made when Jesus first came onto the scene, before he performed any miracles of his public ministry or preached his first word at his first sermon, John knew what was coming. And he said, "Behold, see, look upon, behold, look at, this is the guy. I'm only baptized, I'm doing this stuff, but mine is nothing. I'm not even worthy of unloosening his sandal. I can't do anything. Behold, look at this guy. This is the man, the God-man that we should be looking at. Look upon the Lamb, born to be a sacrifice, born to pay the price for us, to be a payment for our sins. Hold your head up high and look upon the Lamb who ate with sinners and welcomed outsiders, who never forced himself on anyone, yet welcomed and listened to everyone, who walked upon water and calmed the seas and cast out demons and fed the hungry. And the blind received sight, and the lame was able to walk, and the diseased was healed. Those who were held captive, their sins were set free. This is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. In that same way, John the Baptist told us to behold him, meaning exalt and look at Jesus. So did the governor, Pontius Pilate, in John 19:5. And he says, So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." And Jesus came out doing this, and basically what Pontius Pilate was saying, see him, experience him, look at him. Look at him and remember this day that occurred. He was betrayed. He was abandoned by his followers, denied by his closest friends. He was whipped by the Romans. Contrary to what you may have heard, a lot of people think that the 40 lashes minus one happened, but it was actually, that was only Romans dealing with Roman citizens. We don't know exactly how many lashes he did, but it probably wasn't 40. It was probably until they were worn out. And I think that in Passion of the Christ, that scene is probably the most brutal I've ever seen, but probably the most accurate. Everything I saw in there was pretty precise. Jesus was beaten until the Roman soldiers holding whips grew tired. They twisted a crown of thorns and pressed it into his head. And then Pontius Pilate brought him forward and told us to behold him. Look at him. And the purple robe was a sign of mockery, because purple material was very expensive to do or to create, and it was kind of reserved for royalty, the wealthy. So he put this robe on as a mockery. Here's your king. And after all that, Pontius Pilate declared him not guilty. Just a Friday morning of Roman mockery, and the crowd wanted more. And so Pontius Pilate asked him, "What do you want me to do?" "Take him away," they shouted. Those very people that were praising him on Palm Sunday, saying, "Hosanna, blessed be the Lord," and all these wonderful things, those same people are now yelling out, "Crucify him. Crucify him." The ultimate betrayal, his own people that knew him, that supposedly loved him, said, "Crucify him." I know we can't physically see Jesus today, but as best as we can in the mind, we can look up and look upon him. Take a look at 1 Peter Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and salvation of your souls. Take a look at 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Battered, beaten, bruised, and abandoned with only one motivation that Jesus had. And that was to go to the cross, to die on the cross for the salvation of the world. You know, I always think about that, the extent of what he did. You know, and when Katrina mentioned those people that were killed, the prisoners, something that I think about often, and I think about the horrible things that people do. Some things out there that are just so horrific that I don't want to even mention it. You know, we don't want to talk about it, but there's some horrors out there. And those people that did that, do those horrible things, does Jesus' salvation extend to them if they choose? What's the answer? Yeah. Isn't that kind of hard to swallow, though? Isn't that kind of hard to, when you see somebody or you hear about somebody and you're just like, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I think you need to rot downstairs. You do. You know, that's my first instinct. That's my thoughts. My human thoughts is no. I think castration should be real. You know, it's like there's some things out there that just really break my heart, and I want to defend the weak and the people that are struggling that don't deserve that, the innocent. But at the same time, those same people that did those horrific things, Jesus' blood covers them too if they so choose. And that's hard. That's the extent of what Jesus did on the cross. He died for everybody that chooses that gift. The most famous verse, or one of the famous verses out there, 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Whew. Lay down our lives for our brothers? That's tough. His execution was ordered, and he carried his cross through the winding, narrow streets. He could not bear the cross on his own, so the Roman soldiers commanded someone else to carry it along the path. Take a look at this. This is Via Dolorosa. And this is the path that was taken. It's still there today. And in Latin, Via Dolorosa means a sorrowful way or way of suffering. This is current pictures, a few years old. This is what it looks like. That's where Jesus was going down. Now think about this. I'm going to paint a picture here a little bit. This is a ceremonial route of Old City of Jerusalem, which is the path that Jesus took. And it was filled with shops and patrons, crowded like no other time that year. Why? Because it was the Jewish Passover and people were coming all over the place. And that was the time to make a lot of money. All these shops were preparing. It's like retailers today getting ready for Christmas. You know, they're packing the shelves and they're getting their back warehouse completely stocked out and ready to go. And there's during Passover, the population would swell by over 400%. The intention was not to just crucify Jesus, but also to humiliate him. There was a setting an example for any others who might be tempted to rebel against the power of Rome. So they had him carry this cross down through these streets with all these vendors, all these people shopping, pushing through. Like in some of the scenes I've seen in movies for this, it's actually quite wide and there is a lot of people, but it's usually that crowd that was following them. They kind of scale it down. Imagine that narrow street just packed with people and Jesus pushing through. That's what it was really like. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore the sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And I love that. By his wounds, you have been healed. You know, the New Testament writers reflect on the cross in quite a bit of writings. And they declare the sins have been canceled by the pounding of those nails. In his wounds, you get healing. By what he did, you get healing. You, each and every one of you, you get healing. And it's a beautiful mystery that happens. It's an amazing mystery that happens. For the blood and the whipping and the nails and being up there. All of that is so we can have some freedom in our lives and not be in bondage. So we can have that freedom to have some joy despite a world filled with sin and brokenness. And the Roman crucifixion was something that was actually has been carried on for years, but they actually learned it from the Assyrians who were brutal in their torture. And what you don't see in the cross pictures is actually Jesus' knees were up toward his chest. And they pulled his knees up and they would hammer something to keep his feet there. And for him to breathe, he would have to stand up to take a breath and go back down. That's how brutal it was. Even God the Father turns his head from the sin that accompanies the suffering, and Jesus is left alone to die. And a few minutes later, he finishes his work and he breathes his last breath. And his final words are, "It is finished." And that word "finished" means, it's in Greek, it's tetelestai. And tetelestai means complete. Not just it's finished, like, hey, I finished painting this wall, but the rest of the church still needs to be painted. No, it is all done. The whole thing is done. To hold his suffering in your heart creates an overwhelming gratitude and humility. It is almost impossible not to bow your head in sorrow and reverence for what he did for us. That is what the writers of Scripture talks about. That's what Paul talks about. This is the reason we boast and we exalt Jesus Christ every Sunday and every opportunity we can. This is the reason why we have gratitude in our hearts and love in our hearts is because of what he did. This is the reason we can hold our heads up high, not for our glory, but be looking at Jesus for what he did. And we can look up and say, "Thank you, Lord." When we worship and we sing together, whether you're driving down the street shouting praise music at him, or whether in church lifting our heads up high, when we look at this cross, we should be lifting our heads up high with gratitude and humility and say, "Thank you. Forgive me. Even just a morsel of your goodness is good enough for me, let alone all the other blessings that come with it." Take a look at Jeremiah 9:23. It says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches." We determined to know nothing else but Jesus and him crucified. We put our trust in nothing less than him, in his blood and what he did in his righteousness. The instrument of death became the cornerstone of victory in our lives. This is what makes it a good Friday, an amazing Friday, an excellent Friday, a joyful Friday. Yes, we can look at it and go, look, that's death. Like we talked about in the beginning, I'm losing somebody. We see death as if it's final, but it's not. We all go somewhere. And Jesus paid the price for us to be able to spend eternity with him in joy and peace. Amen. Today, hold your heads high and look at the cross. It declares you forgiven. Bears every sorrow and every grief and every pain. It removes your guilt, your shame. Knows you by name. He knows you by name and declares you faithfully and wonderfully made. He boasts over you with joy and rejoices over you and shouts. He loves you without limits. No matter how many times we screw up and how many times, let's show, raise your hands. Have you screwed up in life somewhere? I better see every single hand. We've all screwed up. No matter what you've done in your life, you are forgiven when you come to Christ. No matter what. There is no limit. Knowing that the cross is empty and the tomb is empty too. Because Jesus resurrected, and that's what we're going to celebrate our Easter Sunday. Amen. So hold your head up high. I want you to read this verse with me. Okay, I'm going to give you a second, look at it. I want you to shout this verse. Okay? This is one of those moments where you want to declare this. Just embrace this. Okay? I One more time? Somebody says one more time. Let's do it. I
have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
You guys did a great job. Amen to that. Jesus loves every single one of you. Don't stress out about life. Just give it to him. Just give it up to him. Just talk to him like you would talk to me. Hey, Pastor, you know, and I'm having a really terrible week. Can we talk? Yeah. Talk to him like you would talk to me or one of your close friends. Just let it out. He knows what you mean. He knows what you're going through. He knows. One of the biggest transitions in my life, my personal growth in my life, and I cannot stress this enough, is to just get to the point where you talk to Jesus like he was sitting right here with no holding back. No holding back. Don't be all proper. Oh, Jesus is right here. I gotta say my things. Okay, Holy Father. And say it all proper. No. Be like, Jesus, I'm irritated. I am mad right now. I'm happy. Thank you. Whatever it is. I will sit there and drive down the street and I'll be talking to him. Jesus, you know what? I'm really ticked off at you right now. I thought this was going to go through and I'm struggling right now. I'm worried about money. I'm trying to work my tail off and nothing's coming together. You're making me mad. I'm upset with you. That is the truth. I've talked to him that way. You know why? Because he's going to sit there and go, it's okay. I know. I got a plan. I got it. And sometimes that plan might be, I'm going to let you go through that a little longer because, you know, you need it. You're not relying on me, whatever it may be. Sometimes we go through struggles and it takes us a while because we don't get it. That happens to me all the time. The hardest times I've gone through was the times that I was most stubborn in my life, that I had a hard time changing. And then God just kept doing it. And finally, I was like, I think I need to change that. And then things get better when you follow Christ. Yeah, go figure. You think I'd trust the Lord of the universe that created everything and knows every hair of my head and was there when I was born? saw me born. He knew. He knew everything. Do you think I would trust that? Maybe it's because I think he's a know-it-all. He is a know-it-all. I should trust him. But we're human. You know what? I would take this life today with all the struggles and worries and stress and whatever may come my way. I would take my worst day as a Christian is still better than my best day without him. So lift our head up high. Praise Jesus. Have gratitude, attitude of gratitude every day. And always look at the cross. Don't deny it. Don't like, oh, that's gonna, I don't want to face that. Just embrace it. Because he has something planned for you. All the way until the moment we are on our deathbed, the moment that we pass away, he has a plan for you. He's working in your life if you're following him. Yep. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for all the blessings you bring to us. And thank you for Good Friday. And Lord, I there's a part of me that is sorry that you, our sins brought you to that point where you had to go through that. But at the same time, Lord, I am so grateful that you did that for us. And I appreciate it so much. And I pray and hope that each and every one of us has a huge amount of gratitude for you, for what you did on that cross so many years ago, and the pain and suffering you went through for us out of love, because you loved us so much, Lord. Thank you. So, I can't express it enough, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us that gift that we want to lift you up and praise you. And someday when we're in your presence, we're going to shout for joy and we're going to sing praises for eternity. And it's hard to even fathom how much you love us. So, Father God, I lift your name up today as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, and as we prepare for Good Friday next week and Easter. Father God, as I pray that each and every one of us here just takes time throughout the week and just reflect on the goodness of you. Thank you, Lord, for doing all this for us. And I pray that we never are ungrateful for the blessings of having you in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, if we can please.